Blog Talk Radio.
It's the Ravy Rave thing, y'all. And Ravy's having a little bit of technical issues right now. But I am Ravy Rave. I am the host and CEO of BigDaddyProductions.com. That's Daddy with an I and not a Y. Bear with me one moment. Been having some problems today. Don't know why. But ain't nobody mad but the devil. I guess it's because my subject is going to be so great. But I'm going to be back with you guys in exactly 15 minutes. And enjoy.
Thank you.
I tell him right, he thinks I'm wrong.
I said before, this is a baby Ray thing. Hot mess, but it's okay because I like being a hot mess. I opened up the show with Berlin's The Metro, and then I kind of like went on to Erykah Badu, Other Side of the Game. Y'all remember that album? That album was just hot. And also, I want to say that my theme song for this year, and I'm going to try to carry it on and take it over into 2019, is I Won't Back Down. You know, no matter how much or how much things people think that they can hold you back or hold you down, can't hold me down. Can't hold me down. I want to give a shout out to my cousin Jabria Sade, and I want to give another shout out to my other cousin, the queen of comedy, the queen of Def Jam comedy, Miss Tina Graham. I want to wish you a happy, happy birthday, many, many more. It's like I'm sitting back and just making sure everything is just going great. I haven't been on in a couple of weeks. My MS has been flaring up really bad, and it's my fault. I went to D.C., and I kind of think I overdid it because I'm still kind of recuperating from it. But I don't regret it because I would do it over and over and over again just to have the experience in Washington, D.C. that I had in it. And I really did enjoy myself. I enjoyed myself immensely, tremendously, and it was worth it. And I just sit back and I'm just thankful. I'm thankful as opposed to just complaining. You know, I get annoyed when I hear people just complaining. And I'm complaining about people who complain because I just can't sit there and see how a person can get up and put their left foot and right foot on the floor and stand up and go into the shower and bathe themselves and take care of themselves, and they just complain instead of thanking God that, you know, I can get up, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I do have a topic today, and it's something that's just really been on my mind for a tremendously a long, long, long time. I just want to say, I was on Facebook and I was watching someone that I've known for a very, very long time, and I just sat back and I just listened to what she said, and I, because I know this person, I know how this person is, and I've seen this tremendously talented person just consistently embarrass themselves. And when I originally made this topic, I had her in mind because she says, well, you have to be a little bit of fake in order to make it in anything that you do. And that made me question, do you have to be a fake to make it? And I just really don't believe that you do. I believe you can be your authentic, true self and still make it. Now, there comes a time where you have to curb you. You can't just be you all of the time. You have to sit back and, you know, realize that sometimes the full concentrated you is not the good thing. You know, sometimes you got to know when to hold it back a little bit and pull back a little bit. But you don't have to give up who you are or to be who you are and just sit there and say, oh, well, I'm just doing this because, you know, this is what I have to do. No, sometimes you have to kind of curb it down a little bit. But you still don't have to lose who you are in order to make it. And I sit back and I'm like, okay, whatever. You know, I just sit back and say, okay, I don't know. I just don't think that you can. I think that too much ego will kill your talent. I think that there's a fine line being confident and being a jerk, you know. I sit there and I'm like, okay, whatever. You know, however you want to do it, that's all that matters. And I just don't think that you have to give up who you are, because once you give up who you are, once you reintroduce yourself to yourself, you're going to have that conversation with yourself. And you're going to have to sit back and ask yourself why and who. And you're going to look around and feel very lost, because the image that you have projected, you have to keep it up. When you are yourself, you don't have to keep up an image. You're just being yourself. Now, Kanye West, I could go on and on about Kanye West and my opinion on Kanye West. But the one thing that I can say about Kanye West is that he's consistent. He has mental problems. Don't get me wrong and don't get it twisted. But he's pretty consistent. He doesn't pretend that awards doesn't matter to him. They matter. He doesn't pretend that he doesn't think that he is the greatest, and he's not the greatest, but he thinks he is. Bless his heart. And he stands by it. Too many people are too flaky about what they want to stand by, and too many people fall for everything and stand by nothing. While I was convalescing, I was watching on A&E the Clinton affair, 3-night documentary, which I really think they could have accomplished everything in 2 hours, but that's my opinion. And I gotta ask, and I ask this often, when does a mistress get the highlight? Seriously. Yeah, Paula Jones sitting there trying to act like she was a victim of sexual harassment when what she was a victim of the GOP political party who utilized her to fulfill an agenda that failed tremendously, I might say. And if you're that shy, and oh my gosh, I can't stand to hear people say that they're shy, but then they'll get naked in Playboy or Penthouse. And I don't think Playboy even wanted her. I think it was Penthouse that she actually posed for. And I'm like, okay, but you were sexually harassed, but you're sitting there with your legs gapped open and I see your beaver. Really? How shy could you be? You know, there are many victims, myself included, never thought once when I had the Playboy shape to think that, hey, maybe I should get naked for money because I'm hurt, because I'm sexually harassed. Never once crossed my mind. And then on Thanksgiving evening, I go from that, I turn on MSNBC and Craig Melvin is on there with the Dateline, and it's the mistress sitting there talking like with no regrets in what she was doing to the family and no regrets in what she was a part of. The husband was a very big part of it because he shouldn't have had a mistress. But the mistress is sitting there acting like she's a victim. She got breast plants from the dude and the whole 9 yards, and because the wife had a hysterectomy, she got to sit there and send her a picture of what a whole, quote-unquote, woman is supposed to look like. I'm like, really? And it took everything the news reporter had to say, you know, but wait a minute, you're the mistress. Mistresses are usually quiet. Yes. You don't get to play victim when you willingly get into a situation with someone who's involved with someone else. And you don't get to play the victim. You know, I'm kind of getting into my topic for next week about this new year of the woman and touting women unification. It's not going to happen. Women will not unify. Women will unify with an asshole like Donald Trump before they will together on something that will actually benefit us. If women were going to unify, we would have unified and got the ERA, the Equal Rights Amendment, passed. And it was a GOP leader, female, that made sure that that died. We're not going to do that. And so I have to ask myself sometimes, you know, do you have to be a fake in order to make it? I can't stand fake people. I really can't. I don't want to sound like Peter Griffin, but that grinds my gears. When I see people and they want to be fake and all that other stuff, I can smell fakeness. I can smell phoniness. I will call you out about it because that's just how I am. You know, I will call you slam out on your fakeness. I don't care who you are. And I've done it since I'm a child. And the Bible says that when I was a child, I thought and spoke like a child. And then when I became an adult, I put away childish things. But there's just certain things about me that have not changed. And I think one of the greatest compliments that people give me that have known me since high school and junior high school, as if they say, you never change. You are always you. I have improved the woman that I am, but I've never stopped to think that maybe it's time for me to conform to the world and pretend that everything is okay and pretend that I don't want, improvement in life. I cannot pretend that I am the woman that wants to learn how to grow. I want to be the woman that wants to make sure that everything is cool. And even these so-called guests who like to think of themselves as, I've never asked anybody to be my co-host. Seem like if they do it the show with me more than three times, then I guess they think that they're a co-host, so they go around telling their people that they're co-hosting a radio show. No, you're not co-hosting a radio show. You're just a guest. That I just think that you are interesting enough to be on here with me. You're not a co-host. Co-hosts get paid. Just saying. But the one thing each experiment that I've had, they've all done the same thing. Oh, you just tell everything. No, I tell it so you can't blackmail me. I'll tell it to your wife. I'll tell it to your husband. I'll tell it because you can't blackmail me. Do you think you can hold that back about me and then think that that's something you can hold over my head? No. It is what it is. This show has a GoFundMe page because my website is out of date and it is not mobile friendly. And if you go on BigDaddyProductions.com, you will see the GoFundMe page. Because it's expensive to get a good site up that you want people to visually as well as auditorily sit back and listen to your show and so forth. It's expensive, and I don't have the money. So I will sit there and say, I have a GoFundMe page. You want to sit back and utilize my contacts? Well, yeah, you're going to do something for it. It's no lie. Last person tried to pretend that I was a Satanist because I worked with heavy metal artists and I love heavy metal music. And I had to give them a quick music history lesson that it does, you know, there are some metal artists, especially in the thrash scenes, that are Satanists. But there are those that are in the rap game who have sold their soul. There are those who are in the classical music who have sold their soul and lost their minds afterwards. R&B, blues. I mean, everyone knows the legend of Robert Johnson at the crossroads. And I was like, man, where are you coming from this? Just say what you really want to say. Don't call me a Satanist. I don't have nothing to do with him. I leave him alone. I plead the blood of Jesus all over this conversation and you. Oh, that's what I wanted to hear. Well, you didn't have to hear that, because if you really listen to me when I have conversations with you, it is all about Jesus. It's all about growing. It's all about improving. Because God knows there are so many things that I need to improve about myself. Forget everybody else. You see, I can tell everybody else what they're doing wrong, but I acknowledge my own first. How many of you out there within the sound of my voice actually acknowledge your own flaws before you sit back and try to pull flaws out of somebody else? A lot of the times when we are annoyed with people, it's because we're seeing something of ourselves mirrored in that person. That's true. So you got to start working on yourself first. And I am always, always talking and always on a daily basis trying to improve the woman that I am. I don't want to lose the woman that I am, because I like the woman that I am. There are just certain things about the woman that I am that I need to change. Because I do, my end goal is to be with God. That's my end goal. So in between the woman that I am and my end goal, I got a lot of work to do. I've done a lot of work. And I've got a whole lot more to do. And you don't hear people say that. A lot of the times we see the end result and we forget all of those bumps in between. We forget about all the little hills and valleys that you had to go through to get where you are. You really got to understand that it's not an easy road. I don't try to have no fakeness about me. There's nothing fake about me. It is what it is. They ask me, say, why would you have a show about gray pubic hairs? Well, my mother is not here, and I needed answers. And I found out there was a dye for it, so who else would be a better expert about gray pubic hairs than the person that, and I'm going to bring her back on the show, that makes the dye for it. And everybody gets like a little two-year-old about it, but it's okay. Hey, wait a minute. If you look under your arms, you'll find a gray hair there too every now and again. Live long enough. You know, shout out to Quincy and Christian and Jesse James and Delilah, you know, who lost their mom, Kim Porter. Everyone's like, P. Diddy, forget him. Sorry, Sean. You don't get to treat her like a martyr now that she's dead. And taking care of someone financially is not giving them the ultimate, which is what they want and what they needed. It's time to grow up. It's time to grow up. You're not a teenager. You're not a 20-year-old anymore. It's time to grow up. And you want to talk about God now? You know, start living God. That's what I got to say about it. But it's the children. Because as a person who lost her mother on New Year's Day, it is hard to lose your parents during the holidays, and it is hard to lose a parent before the holidays. And thank God I didn't have any children, because my children would have really suffered, because I know my friendships and my relationship truly suffered when my mother passed. When Big Daddy passed away in 2015, because it was such a shock, you know, I've pretty much gone through that experience with you guys, and you guys have really sent really wonderful emails to me or go on to Twitter and said really encouraging things. And then there's some people who just got quiet, didn't have anything to say. And it's okay, too. Because, see, when your so-called friends get quiet, that's when God can get loud and you can actually hear him. You ever have someone tell you that the reason why they avoided you is because they did not know how to help you like they could? Or they don't know how to go through that with someone because they've never had that experience like you have? You get one mother, one father. When their eyes close the final time, you don't get a spare. You can get all the mother figures you want and father figures you want, but you only get one mother and you only get one father. Once they are gone, mother figures, father figures, and all of that goes away. Because for every accomplishment I make, for everything that I want to share with my parents, I can't do it. And I am not one of those people that sit there and talk in the air like they're in heaven or in hell, because I have no heaven nor hell to put no one in. I don't know where they're at right now. I know where I buried them. I don't know where their spirits are right now. I don't know for sure what their relationship with God was. And we love throwing people up in heaven. People who raise holy hell down here on earth, we love to put them in heaven. And just because a person was a good person doesn't mean that they made it to heaven either. Heaven is that good place. We know that heaven's a good place, hell's a bad place. But if you really read the Bible for yourself, you would stop putting people in heaven and hell. I've wished a few people to hell. I really have. I've had to repent for some of it, and some of them I don't think I've repented for yet, because that's how angry I was. But when God brings it to my remembrance, you know, I do repent for it, and I do, you know, rescind the prayer. I do. I think that we just sit back and we as human beings, we don't do what is the best for us. We love doing what is the worst for us. You will spend money calling a psychic about a person that you know you shouldn't even be with. Like the psychic is supposed to say, yeah, that's a good decision you're making, to be with someone that's just going to tear and stomp your heart out. And wait a minute, you already know that this person's going to tear and stomp your heart out. But you want some human being, some spiritual being, to make this person behave. Like if they could really make people behave, they would have you and your dumb ass saying, listen, you don't need to be calling about this. You need to be calling and finding out why you insist on being a masochist and why you insist on dating the same person over and over and over again, even though they have a different body. And you're dating those same personalities with the same results. That's what you need to get that phone call. You're going to spend some money. I couldn't be a preacher and I couldn't be a psychic. Couldn't be either or. Pastor always talks about people who, well, I was called. No, I wasn't called. And I'm being honest. I don't want God. I can't tell him what to do because he's God. But I don't want to be called to preach. Because I'd be preaching to the empty church. Half of the stuff that pastors have to go through, and you don't hear from people unless they got a problem or they're going through or their kid is in jail. Then when the kid gets out of jail after you done fasted and prayed and got off your knees, you got calluses all on both kneecaps. They won't even say thank you. And you don't hear from them until the next crisis. You know, I have a problem with that. And you have to have a special kind of heart to deal with people like that, which is why most jackleg pastors don't even want to hear your problems. Don't even answer your calls after 9 o'clock. And I would like to think that I wouldn't be more like my pastor now, but I don't know. Where I am right now, please. I have low tolerance. I used to be more benevolent. I have to say that. I used to be very benevolent. You could call me 2 o'clock in the afternoon, 2 o'clock in the evening. If you told me you needed me, I would be there. And until my mom passed, I was like that. And once I just needed somebody to pray with me, not pray for me, pray with me. Because it was just that, I was just in that depression and in that mode where I couldn't even recall a scripture. I didn't even want to pick up my Bible to open it up. So I called a quote-unquote prayer warrior. Quote-unquote prayer warrior. And the lesson I got for that was to pray for myself. And the reward I got for it is that I knew that it was my prayer. And I'm sure that there's other people that are praying for me. I'm sure there's people that are praying against me, not worried about either or. But it's something when you know that you've prayed and talked to God for yourself and you see the manifestation of your prayers. And you know it was only God that manifested it. That is a beautiful thing. That is a beautiful thing. I can't even begin to express how wonderful that is. And that has nothing to do with religion. And my pastor broke it down today. Religion versus spirituality. That religious people will tear you down and spiritual people will pray you up. And I got to get that CD today. I have to. You know, because that was profound. Out of everything he talked about this morning, that was profound. And I'm not a religious person. By no means. But I do know that there's a higher being than me, And I do know that there's more to life than me, which is why I can be happy. Which is why when I'm having an MS flare and I can't do my show, I miss you guys. Because there's so much going on in this world. Do we really want to be happy? Or are we looking for someone to make us happy? Do we really want to find approval within ourselves? Or are we looking for approval for someone else? I said it today in church. I can't stand a yes man. I don't like them. I don't care how much I may be debating with you. I'm still listening to you, and I'm still learning from you. And you'd be surprised how much I will implement a lot of that within myself. I could sit here every day and do a show every day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, and say really nice things. But that's not helping anyone. That's giving an impression that I've gone above and I've got everything all together, and I don't. When I hear of a couple breaking up, I don't rejoice. And that's just a real thing. I don't. There's a sadness because you took vows before God that you were going to stay together through thick and thin, sick or well, rich or poor. And things were just so bad that you couldn't work it out. We're so into our phones instead of our children. We'd rather take pictures of our children and raise our children. You know, we want to be our kids' friends instead of their parents. We want to give them a trophy for participating, and we want to raise them in a world that we think that we should have been in that would have made us happy. And when the kids get into the real world and they realize that because they showed up to a job doesn't mean that they're going to get a raise, no one's going to give them something even if they deserved it. Now the kid is resentful to you. And nothing else annoys me than to hear a child sass back their parent. And yes, a child should fear their parents. They should fear the repercussions of what could happen. I was 47 when my father died, and my father and I would have some interesting discussions. I always respected my father. The way I argued with my dad was not the way that I argued with my sister, because that was my father. The way I argued with my mother was not the way I argued with my sister, because my mother was my mother. And yet, I never, you know, did the thing that people do when people die. I had good parents. And I had good parents when they were alive. They didn't become super parents because they're dead. Because I refuse to fake my story with my parents. And I refuse to make my parents into something that they weren't. And I have to tell you, it makes me feel strange. And it's not easy giving in to conforming to this world. It is not easy. It's not easy walking a half beat off of everybody else. I'm going to tell the emperor he's naked. I'm not going to pretend that the emperor has beautiful clothes on if he's naked. And it's not easy. But to me, it's harder to pretend to be something that you're not than it is to be yourself. I pretended for 8 years with the blue black bastard from the pit of hell because everyone liked him and everyone thought he was so sweet. And I thought that there was something wrong with me. I conformed. And I faked the last 4 years, maybe even 5 years of that relationship. And I put him on a pedestal he didn't even have any business being near, more or less, on. But I put him on there because I felt that if I conformed and if I became that woman that he wanted, not realizing the woman that he met was the one that he wanted, but I wanted to become the woman that I thought that I needed to be in order to be with him, and I was miserable. Oh, we looked good together. Oh, we looked like the perfect couple. And I was dead inside, mortified. The second I saw him, the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and I ignored it. Woman of God, never met him. Never in 8 years I was with him, she never met him once. Her concern with me. But you don't understand. And he wound up hurting me. Because he wasn't looking for the woman that I was trying to become. He wanted the woman that he met. Somebody's going to listen to that and learn a lesson out of that one. He wasn't looking for me to become anything different than what he was attracted to when he met me. And the very things about me and the light that I had in me, I allowed him to quench it. And he quenched it because he was intimidated by it. But the one thing he learned, infidelity, I will walk away from you in a New York minute. He never believed because he knew I was in love with him. He knew I loved him and I was in love with him, but he never believed that I didn't love him enough to put up with his nonsense. The nonsense that I put up with him behind closed doors was one thing. When he went and got him a little girlfriend on the side, that was a little bit much. That was my breaking point. And when I reflect on that, a lot of people can't understand why I never talk bad about my exes. I really don't. I just talk about the situation, and if it was a good situation, it was a good situation. If it was a bad one, it was a bad one. I've even talked about the one relationship that I had, and it's actually two, that I deliberately sabotaged. I was young, but that's not an excuse. And both of those relationships, I'd probably be in them today had I not sabotaged them, had I taken them as serious. And how I kept getting into situations is that you know, okay, I messed up on that relationship, so the next guy I get, I'm not going to do that again. I'm going to overcompensate, and I'm going to try to recreate what I lost, what I messed up. And I'm here to tell you, it doesn't work. Until you heal from your past relationships, you have no business getting into new ones. And the first relationship that I had to get into was with myself. I was already on the road with the relationship with God. I was already there. And he showed me I had to get into a relationship with myself. First time I took myself to the movies by myself, I was petrified. I thought imaginary people were looking at me that didn't even pay me no mind. I'm in a dark theater worrying about what people are going to think about me being in a movie by myself. Second time I went to the movies by myself, I bought my outside food inside because movie food is too expensive. And I sat there with my big bag and had my snacks and my foods, and I enjoyed my movie. First time I took myself to dinner, first I took myself to lunch. And I hid behind a book. Then I took myself to dinner. I brought no book. And I was terrified. I was worried that everybody was going to look at me and think that I was not good enough to be taken to dinner, not even by a friend, not even by a girlfriend. Second time I took myself to dinner, I was cool. I could take as long as I wanted to take to eat my food and enjoy it. I paid my bill and I kept on moving. And I think I became too good of a student. Because I'm an introvert, and introverts should never do things alone, but I do love to do things alone. And my sister is probably the only person on this planet that understands me and understands that about me. You know, when my mom was alive, I had a punishment, and my sister had a punishment. If you took the TV from me, I didn't care. You took my movies and my music and my books away, especially my books, to tell me to go to my room. You have actually sent me to my utopia. So my sister would have to go to the room. And I would have to sit there and watch TV. I got so tired of seeing Mrs. Chancellor and Jill fighting. I got tired of watching Archie Bunker and all of them because that wasn't my thing. Even today, and I'm 50 years old, my TV will be on, and it's like the club. I have it on mute. I'm playing music. I'm reading. I'm doing everything but watch the TV. Now, if Game of Thrones or The Handmaid's Tale is on, it used to be The Walking Dead till they killed Karloff, you know, I'll get into that. You know, if there's a good documentary, I'll watch that. Or a potential good documentary. I'll watch those. I'm paying for cable and I watch my Roku TV. And in order to watch my Roku TV, I need internet and cable, so I have the cable. But I can watch what I want to watch as many times as I want to watch. I can rewind how I want to watch it, and that's the perks of it. I sit back and I say this. I'm thankful that I'm not fake. And I ask God that I never become a fake. No matter how successful I get, no matter, well, I think I've gotten down pat the accolades, because people will puff you up. I don't even listen to that anymore. The proof of the pudding is when in your support. You can tell me all day I'm a wonderful person, but I don't really receive that. I'll say thank you, and I'll leave it there. I'm not interested in that, and I hope to God that I never change where, you know, if I happen to become bigger than what I am, then I just remain me. And if I have to become something that I'm not, then may I stay the way I am. And I mean that. I already know who I am. I've already defined me. God defines me when He created me. Shout out to my friend Lauren up there in West Caldwell. She likes to tease me because I do have this thing for crowns. I wear a crown on my finger. I've got a couple of tiaras. I'm always on the hunt for a new one. I have a tiara that has my birthstone in it. You know, I refuse to refer to myself as a queen because queens are old. But I have to understand I'm 50 now and princess, I don't know. But I like the word princess better than queen. I already know who I am, and that bothers people. My confidence bothers people. I'm not supposed to be confident. You know? You're handicapped. How are you going to... Cal, I'm just as sexy on this cane as I was without it. Not handicapped, I'm handicapable right now. Handicap means I can't do for myself. I can do for myself for right now, so I'm handicapable. When I'm in my house, I probably look like one of the homeless. When I step out my front doors, I step like a pony to the fair as best as I can. But I'm not fake. Folks sit there, when I sit there and talk about, oh, I need to take this wig off because I'm hot. You know, and I know it's a wig. So why are you all, you know, oh, my goodness. Yeah, it's a wig. Let's not pretend that it's not. Not saying that you have to go around being ghetto. But be yourself. Be your best, true, authentic self. And as you start having that relationship with yourself, you will never allow anyone to treat you any less than how you treat yourself. Been doing this show for 10 years, and I've been making that statement for 10 years, and I'll do it for 20 more years. Because when I do meet a fella, and the warning signs start, I keep it moving. I'm not going to give you a chance. Oh, well, a good man can be made by a good woman. I am not God, and God himself does not override our free will. Who am I to think I can change somebody? He's already been raised. And at my age, I'm not looking for something that I got to put in that much work. Relationships are work. All by itself. I don't need the extras. You don't know if you want to commit, then see ya. Try again in a few years. If I'm available, we'll see. I don't have time for all of that. Everybody, think like a man. I don't have to think like a man. I have to think with common sense. Steve Harvey can't tell me anything about a relationship. He's on wife number 3. How many hearts had to be breaking and how much drama has he had to go through before he got this one? And the last time I checked, there are no guarantees on a marriage. He can lose this one just like he lost the other two. I don't have to think like a man. Maybe I need, you know, if I had to convince somebody, think like somebody, think like Jesus. Think like the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit guide you. Because he won't guide you wrong. And he surely won't guide you to heartbreak. I looked on my Facebook. And I know I'm going to get in trouble. But can't fake it. I won't say any names. All up and down my timeline, I'm seeing them talking about relationships and good men and how they want it to be, how they need a good man in their life, and they tired of this and tired of that. And I'm like, but you're not a good woman. These are not Facebook associates. These are people I actually know. Some of them, I'm actually blood related to them. You want to know why you keep dating selfish men? Look in the mirror. Self-centered, selfish, lying, conniving, nosy, gossiping. What makes you think a good man is going to be around something like that? Just saying. Just asking. Because you made babies with somebody that wasn't a good person. Okay. Is that the baby's fault? Did you think because he had kids before he got with you that because you had kids with him that all of a sudden he's going to grow up and be a good man and a good father because you gave him kids? I'll let you in on a little secret. Every man I've been with, and it ain't been that many men, because I tend to sit and park in relationships. My last situation was 16 years, to give you an idea how crazy I used to be. I check out the relationship after year two and just sit there. Why? Didn't want to go back out in the dating pool. Dude, this is like a pair of comfortable underwear. I already know what I'm getting with this. I got to break you in to find out that I'm going to check out with you. No. I will not do that foolishness anymore. I'm learning. I'm not wasting the rest of my time on God's green earth waiting for somebody to get it right and get it tight. But I did. I wasted my youth. But there were just certain things that I just knew that I wasn't going to do. You know, been engaged 3 times. three times I said no. People are like, oh, well, he bought a house. Yeah, he bought a house, and the house is in his name. The mortgage is in his name. The home, everything is in his name. It's not in our name. We didn't go house hunting. We did not invest in the home. So, therefore, we don't have a house. I have a house. And you know how I have a house? I have a deed. I don't even have a mortgage. I have a deed. I was blessed with a deed. I own it. All I have to do is pay taxes on this thing once a year. Once a year. Because my God gave me a tablespoon of common sense. Why pay $900 in rent plus utilities when you could sit and pay your own utilities and invest in yourself? Why go get fancy cars that depreciate as soon as you fart in it, then get something that's an investment? So I thank God for my tablespoon of common sense. He still has a mortgage. God forbid he gets sick. I get sick, I got to worry about utilities, you know, lights, gas. He gets sick, he got to worry about lights, gas, taxes, and mortgage. And I just sit back and I just say, okay, Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Lord. I'm learning. I'm a little slow. You know, more people are impressed with me having a radio show than I am. I use this radio show to talk and reach out and educate people and try to help them out. That's what I'd like to do. I don't like to sit there and brag and do all that foolishness. I don't sit there and do all of that. It's not necessary. It's just not necessary to me. And everything I say today, this is something that I prayed and asked God to show me what I need to say before I say it. That's just how I do things. I don't worry about it. So do I have to... Do I have to sit back and be a fake in order to make it? No. When I see someone that is sitting there and not doing what they need to do and so forth, you know what? I say, Lord, I thank you. And I'm getting to the point where I'm started not getting as upset as I used to, because I used to blow a gasket. One of the things that always tickle people, I tell them, I say, the only reason why you hanging back in the cut is just in case. That's the only thing that keeps you from completely deleting me and my numbers out of your life. You're on that just-in-case plan. And God has allowed me to see that. You guys remember, 1 year, I just started cutting people off left and right. One of my friends said, "What is really going on with you if I'm tired? I'm not an option, and I'm not going to allow myself to be used or utilized just in case. Just in case I have a purpose. Just in case something happens. Just in case." So you could sit there and act like you was there from the get-go. No, you weren't. You were here just in case. Say, how could Trump be president? Trump is a reflection of the United States of America and how Americans think. It is a damn shame. I was sitting here talking about gossip and breaking people down and breaking their spirits down. If I was sitting here doing drama, folks would be interactive. But folks just sit back in the cut and they listen and they're looking to see if anything changes. They're not seeing, they're seeing improvements, but not changes. They're like, why? Why not? I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And I will do all things through Christ, who strengthens me. Because if it wasn't for Christ, I would not be here. I would not be here. And I have always called out fakes from when I was a child. I would ask questions that nobody would ask, and I would ask questions that people were ashamed to ask. Everybody would sit back and talk amongst themselves, but then I would be crazy enough to just sit there and ask them. And then go back to the people who were asking those questions and say, well, they said, you were supposed to go over there and ask them that. Why not? Everybody was speculating. I wanted to know. I was Mark Anthony. I needed to know. I needed to know. And once I knew, I was good. You don't gossip? No. I have friends that can tell you that have known me for years. They can really put on one hand to, and they really got to dig, to find out or remember when they've ever heard me really gossip about anybody. I'll talk more about myself than I will about anybody else. Because I'm kind of like my own favorite subject. I don't know why, but I am. I am my favorite subject. Don't know why. But I am. I'm not a narcissist.
Life isn't about me. As a matter of fact, my mission statement for my business is it's not about me, it's about the community. How can you sell somebody's book and you're not getting anything? No, not one dime. Why not? Sometimes it's just good to do stuff for other people instead of always waiting to get something in return. And I do get something in return. And sometimes it's even better than what I anticipated. I'm not sitting there worrying about that. So do we really have to fake it in order to make it? I don't think so. I think you can improve on yourself without losing yourself. And I think that if you do make it, and you make it with yourself, you enjoy it more. And why you enjoy it more? Because it came through your hard work, your tenacity, your talents, whatever they are. I'm crazy enough to believe that. You have been listening to It's a Raby Ray Thing. Make sure you go to BigDaddyProductions.com. That's Daddy with an I and not a Y. Now we talking to you.